7:13, Rick Pearson, finest political reporter anywhere, here, there, everywhere, and at Rap 30, RAP30, is standing by on the phone. Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady coming up in just a moment as well, as we'll talk a lot of politics in this hour. Good morning, Rick Pearson.
Good morning, Steve.
How are things at the Chicago Tribune?
Very busy. We are certainly in 2016 election mode, that's for sure.
When Hillary Clinton ran in 2008, there's a famous picture of you in, I believe it was in Iowa, in a women's room with a bunch of other reporters next to you. Was it a women's room or a men's room?
Men's room.
Men's room, that's right, because there are urinals on the wall.
Yes, indeed.
And where was that?
Austin, Texas, in a men's athletic facility.
And you were set up in the bathroom because people were upset with you?
That's kind of the view we took, just heightening to the fact of not only setting us in front of the urinals, but that's also what they served us, our box lunches that day.
Isn't that sweet? Yes, kids, you want to cover politics and be a journalist, just know that there's no end to the fringe benefits.
Yeah, I kind of called it urinalism myself.
Yeah, look what you did there. Look what you did there. Thank you, Maria Menounos. All right, let's start with the city here. And one of the main stories that's out there this morning is actually about a cop in Texas in the Sandra Bland case. But the police here and shootings here and troubles here continue to percolate, and yet we don't hear much from the mayor. Is the mayor still in Cuba? Did he go back?
Now, the mayor is back, but frankly, he's standing very strongly behind the city's law department, which is the one that has been kind of in charge of negotiating settlements with families. Also, the fact that a top lawyer in the law department was found by a federal judge to have concealed exculpatory evidence that would have helped the defense in a case, and that lawyer has now resigned. But that's put a new kind of fire over City Hall. There was a question to the mayor about whether Department of Justice should look into the city law department, and the mayor said no, he didn't think so. Now, you know, we went through that before when DOJ was being asked to take a look at the Chicago Police Department, and the mayor quickly backtracked on that. And now the kind of cleaned up statement out of City Hall is that the City Hall would participate in any investigation that the Department of Justice has done. Yeah. Nevertheless, it still shows kind of this kind of spiraling out of control that when you have a mayor who was supposed to be a noted control freak.
And the lack of control and the alleged cooperation, or maybe, you know, real cooperation that's going on with federal authorities and all the investigation that goes on, has this cooled the heat on him at all?
I don't think so. I think, yeah, you know, we kind of had thought that after the holidays, some of the protests would die down, and indeed, I think that has taken place. But still, it's a daily kind of criticism, including the governor, who has other motives as well. But Governor Rauner using very harsh words, accusing Rahm of being a failure and of being tone deaf when it comes to what's going on in the city of Chicago.
And, Rick, that gap between Rauner and Emanuel continues to widen, too, with Rauner saying Monday that, yeah, he'd sign the bill that would allow Chicago residents to recall Emanuel, although a bill like that's not likely to really be on his desk anytime soon or ever.
No, but it is showing that this, you know, these two they're friends, and frankly, they're also business guys, and they understand the rough talk that's part of the nature of politics, but you know, the city, besides the issues of police-involved shooting and violence, you also have this enormous financial liability that the city faces. And the city, of course, and I've been talking about this for weeks, about how the city is counting on Springfield to help deliver some cash relief, and the state can't even get its own budget act together. So I think there's a bit of a folly in that as well.
So is this dispute between Rahm and Rauner a necessity of an election year and the troubles that are going on, or is it real?
Well, I think, you know, as any kind of political opposition will do, you try and take advantage of somebody that's stumbling, and that's certainly what Rauner's doing. Rauner wants Rahm Emanuel's help to urge Speaker Madigan to support the governor's pro-business union-weakening agenda, something that the mayor says he's not willing to do. The mayor's saying that Bruce Rauner is holding hostage the public school kids in Chicago because he won't support moves to help Chicago and the $500 million cash relief it needs for the city's public schools. Sure, that's the governor taking a political opportunity here of Emanuel's weakness. But that having been said, it's not very likely that Emanuel is going to be moving to try to support those union weakening provisions, even though Emanuel and the Chicago Teachers Union, there's not a lot of love between those two.
Governor Rauner was on with me Monday. I asked him directly, point blank, are you here to break unions? Are you here to break unions up? Are you here to end unions in Illinois as we know it? What was the word he used, Kev? Was it poppycock?
Poppycock. That was it.
And he won an award because no one's ever used the word poppycock on the show before.
Although it probably hasn't been heard since 1928 on WGN.
He said 22 skidoo or whatever that was as well. But the point being, I asked him directly, he answered directly on the record, so you have to choose whether to take him at his word or not. You can't have it both ways. So, and of course, we invited Madigan on the show. Are we still getting crickets there? Kev, crickets? Or the crickets not even appearing now? Crickets, yes. So Madigan won't show up for this show, but Madigan won't show up for the Four Tops meetings either, will he?
Well, there was a meeting that was scheduled before the holiday break. Madigan's people wouldn't say where he was. He did have, there was a birth of a grandchild that had occurred, and that's kind of where everybody believes he was.
Yeah, it occurred over several days.
Poppycock. Well, it was in California.
Oh, yeah, the planes coming back and forth from there just aren't that effective. It must have been one of those 12-day births you hear about.
Well, I'm not trying to defend Madigan, but the point being that, you know, among all the Four Tops and the governor, if this is such a calamity, why don't we meet until we get a deal? And no one seems to be taking any kind of feeling that the state is just spiraling downward as well, and that's very troubling. And now you compound it with the fact that, yeah, we've moved into an election year. The governor's supposed to be delivering next year's fiscal budget, even though we don't have one for the current fiscal year. And whatever remedy it's going to take to resolve the state's financial woes is going to require a tax increase. And I don't know how you do that. How anybody says it's easier this year when it's a full-blown legislative election year in Illinois.
Well, even if people don't like Rauner, I'm saying the people that don't like Rauner, even for that faction of the state or that segment of the state, how do you explain Madigan's actions? How do you explain Madigan not showing up for meetings? How do you explain Madigan not sitting down and trying to resolve this?
Madigan, of course, a lot of power, doesn't believe that in the meetings that have been held so far that it's been anything but recitation of talking points on all sides and not talking about things that can actually be agreed upon. And
but again, what's his solution? So his solution is don't show up? You know, the children that are involved in this little play that's destroying the state, you know, really need to be sent to their rooms. But I'm not sure Madigan would show up for that either.
Well, it is far past the point that all five of these people should be locked in a room and nothing until you've got a resolution to it. I mean, there's blame on both sides of this. The idea, though, that of the governor pushing his union weakening provisions, there are ways to negotiate on some of those things that would not be the end-all of unions.
Right, and by the way, Rauner made that point on Monday as well. So, again, Madigan's got all the free rein he needs here to come in and answer tough questions, but he needs to show up. As I've said many times, we're more likely to get the Queen of England first. And this notion that Steve Brown always says, no, he's always available to the media. He does select group media interviews in a very rare sit-down. You, of course, got one of those recently on the Sunday morning show, but he almost never talks to anybody one-on-one. And there's nothing, until I hear differently, there's nothing in my mind that makes me think Mike Madigan cares about doing anything to fix his problem.
Well, and that's a very valid criticism when, you know, when you look at what progress, if any, we've made on this. And as I said, now that you move into a 2016 election cycle, and you have, I wrote a story on this last Sunday about how Madigan has been amassing, raised $7 million, more than $7 million in 2015 for the political funds that he controls. You know, you're looking at that. You're looking at the backdrop of the governor and his allies with a war chest approaching $30 million to fund candidates. And then you throw in these very difficult decisions that would be raising taxes and cutting services. You tell me how that gets done in an election year before the election in November.
It's Rick Pearson. Read him in the Chicago Tribune online at chicagotribune.com. Sunday morning on The Spin, who's on?
I've got Mike Zaleski. He's the sponsor of the legislation that would legalize fantasy sports. And that seems to be a very hot topic now, especially as we get closer to Super Bowl time.
Yeah, and a big NFL playoff weekend coming up. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
Coming back with Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady, and we'll talk about the other clown car, which is the race for the White House.